Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Ooh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please, just get on with the show. Yes.
Just as case in point, it is probably about lunchtime. You've been in there for a number of hours. I mean, we've gone through a few things. I'd say it's midday, lunchtime.
There's rice soup inside if anyone's hungry. It's up to Spencer and Mud to cast votes, and please don't vote separate to each other. Are we going to stay?
I am going to... We'll leave. We can always come back here later.
Yeah, I say we leave and we look for... we look through the things we found.
Oh, yeah, that's good, actually. I'll take one of the books and read them, wherever we decide to go. I'll let the other guys decide.
I'm reading my book in the car.
You're probably going to need something flat, you know, a table, really good lighting. You're going to find that kind of a dreary winter's afternoon is not really ideal reading. I'd suggest a few places. Restaurant, speakeasy, Ormond's townhouse, or something to do with the church. Or you could go back to Duncan Smith's house.
My house. I have lots of booze.
Well, I need to get this bloody arm sorted out again.
I probably should go with you because bruises and so on, just to make sure nothing's broken.
Okay, Orman, do you want to describe your tap house? You could probably get a private doctor out to see you guys.
It's a Boston brownstone. Three floors. Lovely frontage onto the park. Doors opened by a rather aged, distinguished European butler. The maids you see scurrying about, bringing us tea and other things, are shapely and attractive. And have a slight twinkle in their eye, especially when they look at me. You see a very well-stocked... We walk into the sitting room. See a very well-stocked bar, despite prohibition. And the library and the books on the walls are everything from philosophy to psychology to the occult.
Okay. You found two journals. There's the one that you found locked in the cupboard... And there's the one you found partially burned in the fireplace. Who's studying them, and which one do you wish to study?
I would like to study the one I found, if everyone has no objections.
I'm studying the one in the box. So he's got the burden.
Okay, right. Bartholomew, this is what you found after a number of hours of study.
March the 12th, 1808. Tome was found while digging up the subject.
Sorry, tome.
Pursuing this text promises a studious practitioner the opportunity to converse with the most powerful and wise being, not of this world. While I remain apprehensive, I must know what secrets lie in this long-forgotten volume. September 8th, 1808. The time is right. Months spent deciphering the meaning and intricacies of this folio have finally shown their worth. September 9th, 1808. Last light will forever be painted upon my mind. At the clock's ring of midnight, my closest colleagues and I set forth upon calling what I hereafter refer to as the Dark Man. The ritual called for the blood of three individuals spilt by the same blade. I am, as of yet, unable to remove the stain of our shared sacrifice from this blade. After reciting the words written in the book we discovered some 6 months ago, I am faced with an overwhelming sense of dread. I presume that my colleagues had similar trepidations, but I dared not speak. In the center of our circle, the Dark Man appeared from the coagulating shadows. His mere presence caused Emile Hooper, wife of Benjamin, to let out a shriek. In other circumstances, I would remark how unfitting Such behavior is amongst society, but I must admit I was quite frightened myself. As quickly as the dark man arrived, he had vanished back into the lightless void from which he appeared. I must contact him again. December 14th, 1808. My colleagues now see me as their prophet, and I lead them in worship of our Lord, Gatherer of Secrets. If the public were to learn of this tomb, or of our weekly ceremonies, they would surely try to kill us all. We must keep our knowledge secret for now. February the 22nd, 1821. Our Lord, Gatherer of Secrets, has revealed to me the process to become a pure spirit, seemingly still through freeing... Can't read that bit. Seemingly still through...
It's fucking hard to read, isn't it?
Freely moving...
Space and time.
Yeah. Thought through space and time. I will become immortal and continue and command my own loyal subjects.
Fucking hell.
Okay, so that was the first diary entry. Did you say you were studying Diary 2, Reverend?
That was me, yeah, myself. I gave this one a read.
Now, this one is pretty... is burnt. There's not much to read from it. This is what you gather.
November 23rd, 1835. Henry Weber has recently built a house on 20 Shafe Street. As it is a short walk from the church, I wish to possess the estate. I pray that our Dark Lord would provide me with the means to remove Mr. Weber from his home. November 13th, 1835. Have I read this backwards, or is that the way it's written?
That's fine.
So 10 days earlier. The Gatherer of Secrets has answered my wishes. Henry Weber has fallen...
It's November the 30th.
Oh, sorry, 30th. 30th, sorry. Sorry, 30th. Henry Weber has fallen ill, which I'm certain he will not recover from. I write this as I leave to purchase the deed to 20 Shafe Street. March 13th, 1847. The Chapel of Contemplation is growing in number. Amongst our new members are Daniel Ellsworth and Lee St. Peter. Daniel is head of city council. His influence is sure to be invaluable in the future. Also, we have converted various outcasts and vagrants willing to perform menial and abhorrent duties. I pray to the Gatherer of Secrets is pleased.
Okay.
Well, that seems lovely.
For you guys that were at the Hall of Records, you know that the Weber was the man that built the house, and he sold the house to Walter Corbett very shortly afterwards, so this kind of matched it quite easily. Okay, Spencer and Harold, a doctor's come and administered first aid, and you're feeling better, although still bruised and battered. You've been given a fine meal by the butler and staff of this townhouse, and it's now probably 2 or 3 in the afternoon. What do you wish to do?
I place a call to the library records where I know that the father and Bartholomew are, and I see what their leads are.
No, the doctor came to the townhouse. Bartholomew is a very well connected, very well off member of society, and he arranged for a doctor to come and see you both. So you are actually in the room with these guys currently.
Okay, so we've met again, but we've obviously explained everything we've read. They've read what we've read. We should plan of action, I suppose, from now. In my opinion.
Plan of action? I don't know. Like, where do we go basement. From here? The information we have...
We still don't know what's happening in that house.
Basement,
and
yeah.
We don't we can look up dead bodies, missing people in the area of the Temple of Contemplation, which is probably police records. A fire story, maybe, about the Contemplation in the newspaper. Story about the kids, the Macario kids, maybe what happened to them. If these people went nuts, maybe there'd be something about two people went nuts in... Like, Macario kids. So go on.
Case of a quick split up. I'll peruse occults. You peruse newspapers. Aaron goes to the cops. And I don't know where you go, Harold.
He's probably better off going to the newspapers. He's a celebrity. I mean, I can... What can I can look to see if...
Yeah, I could...
I don't know. Can I check if there's any orphanages that the kids went to? Catholic-run orphanages or something?
Do you mean the Macario children?
Yes, we don't know anything about them other than they had
No, you have no idea where they've gone to. You could The standard practice would be sent with relatives.
Okay.
As it is now.
Well, if the tree boys want to go where they go, I'll just follow on them, because that pretty much covers all our bases, I think.
Well, why don't you peruse the occult with me, and then Harold can go to the newspapers and Spencer can go to the cops.
I'd like to go to the cops. I'm gonna use one of my outfits and pretend to be FBI.
Okay, this is 1922. The FBI has not yet been formed.
It was formed in 1908. Bang.
It is not the same thing that you'd expect it to be then. So it's much smaller, and it's from what I understand, it was much more concerned with things like booze running interstate and stuff like that. I'm willing to be stood corrected, but you could certainly go in and pretend to be a member of authority, definitely.
Federal marshal is what he wants.
Okay, but federal marshal.
Yeah, marshal. Let's do it. I don't know borders. Okay, I'll hunt you down. All right.
Okay, let's see. There's probably an easier way of doing this. If you want to do a disguise roll, then you can get some kind of feedback from the other people. And so to get a perfect disguise, if you fail your disguise roll, you can push it. See if you make it better. So if you want to give us disguise roll to start with.
Okay.
If he fails the push roll, he gets carried away and scars himself, so he looks like a real, real hardened cop.
Yeah. Use that mercury paint.
All right, I can
push it
again. 14. Ooh.
Okay, your roll is very successful. You managed to create a disguise using possibly Spencer's old police uniform and bits that you have from your previous role in as maybe a police officer, and come up with something very, very convincing. But
there's no need to go all the way as a woman.
The other three. Okay, so you're heading to the cops. Spencer, where do you wish to go?
I'm going to be going to the cops, see if I can pull out some of my connections, see what I can get.
Are you going to go to the same station, or are you going to go away from Harold?
I'll stick with him because I've got a feeling he may get discovered if no one goes with him and knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, he knows the lingua.
And where do you wish to go?
Can I actually go to the Hall of Records and see if there's been a change of deeds of the plot of land that is the contemplation place?
The Hall of Records has been pretty thoroughly searched by the other two. I do recommend either the library or one of the newspapers.
I will go to the newspapers then about a fire story, I guess.
Do you wish to go to the Boston Globe or the Boston Herald?
The Herald. The Boston Globe. Smutty pictures on page 3. Don't like them.
Yeah, there's way too much ankle.
Yeah, way too much ankle. they have a whole two-piece swimming suit. Not a fan of it.
Okay, let's do the. Let's start with the police. Okay, you two approach the police station. Outside is a beat cop leaning against the wall, smoking a cigarette. He immediately looks up when he sees Harold and kind of stubs out a cigarette and goes, "Oh, well, sorry, sir, what can I do for you?"
I want to investigate some old reports that you may have from some crimes. It's linked to current undergoing investigation. Where are your records?
I'll take you inside to see my captain. He's on the desk at the moment. He leads you in to a large kind of entry room. Behind the desk is a kind of angry-looking sergeant, balding, overweight, sipping on what appears to be a large cup of coffee. Sir, these people want to see you. All right, Sergeant, that's okay. I'll have a word with them. Right, what can I do for you two?
I need to take a look at your records.
Do I recognise this man at all?
Could we use? Give me a education check. Might be the easiest thing to do.
Well, how well you did in the academy would mean you'd know this guy, Anna. There you go, Joe. Got you out of that one.
Where is my education?
Top. It's not a skill. It's a base characteristic. Top.
Yes, this is Captain Hammers. He is known to be uneducated, particularly stuck in his ways, and decidedly unhelpful.
Ah, Hammers. How you been?
Do I know you?
Sure you do. It's Spencer. Spencer Randall from the Academy? Come on, pal, you know me.
Do you want to try a fast talk roll, please?
Fast talk.
This is going to go so badly.
This is a syntax error on
that. You've got to add in the base thing, which is the percentage beside the words fast talk.
At this point, he's being pretty unconvincing, Howard. If you want to cut in before this roll, you're more than welcome to.
Can I fast talk for him? I've got fast talk.
Yeah. If you fast talk it, well, basically, depending what you do, we'll decide the role. Like, if you do something intimidating, I'll say intimidate role. If you're trying to bamboozle him, I'll say fast talk. If you're trying to persuade him, depending how you do it, is what the role will be.
I'm going to bamboozle him.
You're going to talk, roleplay, he means.
So you do it, I'll tell you what the role is.
All right, I'll be like, listen, Spencer's just helping me out here a little bit on this investigation. It's strictly need-to-know basis. I just need to take a look at your records, if that's quite all right.
He kind of raises his eyebrow. Give us a fast talk.
All right. Fast talk. 16. Oh, shit.
Slow clap. Slow clap for the man who can't roll during 97 ever.
Okay. As you're fast talking him, you've managed to gesticulate wildly and knock over his coffee. And he stands up and goes, oh, for God's sake. Right, what is it you're here for? And he's kind of looking at your uniform and your disguise very critically, going, and who do you say your name is? Where do you work? Who are you?
Oh, can I try and fast talk this?
If you wish to push the roll, you certainly can. Remember, if you fail a pushed roll, then something particularly...
do it!
...is likely to happen.
Do it!
Oh, sweet Jesus. I'm doing it. Fucking do it.
Oh, fuck! You rolled a 97 and got 98, people.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Spencer saved me.
Right, he's gone for his gun. His hand is on his gun. I'm afraid, sir, I'm gonna need to see some form of identification. And for you, sir, as well. You do not look entirely the right age to be at the Academy with me. I look far younger and handsomer. Both of you, ID now.
Well, I've got all my papers and documentation on me. It's not too big of a problem.
This says that you're a PI. You are not a cop. And you, sir, who are you?
Oh, shit.
Please let that be in character. I'll be like, in player.
Let that be in character. Oh, shit.
Hands up, a pair of you. He's drawn his gun. Who are you, sir? You look mighty familiar. Right, he's going to do a roll to see if he... this guy is going to see if he recognises you from the films.
From the films, as Irish people say.
But no, he doesn't. Because you're reasonably famous.
I think I saw you in a moving picture.
If you're a policeman, police officer, I'm going to need to see some kind of ID. Keep your hands up, sir. He's pointing his gun at Spencer as you reach for your wallet.
Can I try and charm him in some way?
Sir, flirt.
Yeah.
Go for it, yeah. I don't know, what do you want to do right
just
now?
Roll.
I mean, at this point, he's pointing his 38 at you. Spencer's got his hands up.
If this happened to you in real life, just do what you would do and Joe will tell you what to roll.
I put my hands in my pockets and I go, listen, this has been a huge misunderstanding. Huge misunderstanding.
Oh, really? I need some CCTV.
I don't have
any
identification,
sir,
on me.
Impersonating a police officer is a serious offence. Sergeant, get in here! The man has come in off the street and seeing the situation also pulls his weapon.
Two people are going to die, not even to a demon.
Good shot right in the face. Oh, fuck. How do you go about this?
Kiss him hard.
How about this? We will cut the scene in mid-scene and we will go to the two people at the newspaper. Bartholomew, where did you say you were going to? I know that Reverend's gone to the Boston Herald, and you said you're... Are you going with him, or are you going to go to the Boston Globe or somewhere else?
I'm checking the library, my own library, in the public, in the Boston Library's occult section for references.
Specifically for?
For references to the Masters of Secrets and the Dark Man.
Tower of Secrets.
Are you going to the public library and your personal library?
By public lab, yeah, I meant the university library, not the local children's book library.
Okay, I assumed you meant the kind of Boston library. If you wish to go to the large library in the University of Boston, I recommend driving up to Arkham and trying the Miskatonic University library, which is famous for books on the occult.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, Reverend, the newspaper.
Yes.
You spend a while looking through their records, and can you give me a library use roll to see what you find?
Library use... Yes, I passed the roll! First one I passed all game. It's been 3 hours of gameplay.
Okay, there's a few things you find. This is the first one.
Coffs Hill area resident Walter Corbett Esquire has had suit brought against him by neighbours yesterday. Neighbours of Mr. Corbett are petitioning to force him to leave the area in consequence of his serious habits and inauspicious demeanour. Mr. Corbett has made no statement in response to the lawsuit. He resides in Chief Street address he purchased 17 years ago.
That was Friday, July 2nd, 32. And here's the second one from the Boston Herald as well.
So, lawsuit fights Corbett's will. Former neighbours have issued another lawsuit against local lawyer Walter Corbett Esquire, this time after his death. In terms of Mr. Corbett's will, the terms of Mr. Corbett's will specified that he was to be buried on the grounds of his house at 20 Sheaf Street, more particularly in the basement of the building. Neighbours have raised a lawsuit to prevent the burial from taking place. Mr. Corbett's neighbours first sued him in 1832 in an effort to evict him from the area. Mr. Corbett died June 20th, 1866 at his home. Born January 14th, 1789. In Boston he lived much of his life in this house. He leaves being no living relatives and no funeral service was held. This was on Monday, June 23rd, 1866. So this is 3 days after his death.
Okay. Do you wish to go to the Boston Globe?
I'd like to continue, yeah. So there's nothing about the church contemplation or missing people, so
no? No.
Yeah, if I have time without, like, prolonging the party from doing what they're doing, I'll go to the Boston Globe.
Well, I'm going to move over to Dave. It's going to take Bartholomew a while to drive to Arkham, but you know the route... and the weather is improved and the roads are not particularly bad. You arrive at the Miskatonic University and you are greeted at reception by a rather old, doddering man. Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. You know, the guy who's stamping in the library? Kind of, yes, what can I do for you, young man?
Good evening, sir. I need access to the...
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. I need access to the occult section of your library. I'm currently working on a fictional novel regarding such nonsensical items.
Oh, lovely, lovely. If you want, you're going to have to speak up. I'm a little deaf. I didn't hear you the first time.
I will need access to your occult and pagan section for a book I am working on, for a novel regarding these issues. I understand.
Somersault? Do you mean gymnastics? You need the sports hall, young man. We don't have one at this university, but there's a lovely park nearby.
Occult, good sir.
Okay, I see. There's no need to shout. Dear me, young folks, these days when they come in here with their they're muffins and they're thingamabobs. I'm just trying to do my job here. What did you say you wanted again?
Could you kindly direct me to the alternative religions and occult section?
As you're kind of shouting at the guy, a rather elderly, austere man comes up. He's obviously overheard your conversation. And he puts his hand on your shoulder and goes, "My dear fellow, my name is Dr. Henry Armitage. I believe I might be of some help. Do you want to come with me?"
Well, thank God for someone who speaks the Queen's English.
He is English, and he leads you through the corridor to a small office lined with books and papers. Just glancing at it, you see that much of the records concern the occult, and particularly focusing on Egypt and Africa. My name is Dr. Henry Armitage, as I said. What is it I can do for you? You said occult. This is my specialty. Is there something you are interested in?
We are currently researching a local legend regarding a cult surrounding a certain gentleman of Boston and his possible cult activities and burial for a local puff piece.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And how is it exactly we can help you?
I simply require access to the area, to your occult, any occult references you may have to the Dark Man or the Gatherer of Secrets.
Are you a student?
I must look a bit old for a student. I haven't been a student since my days at Oxford.
Ah, Oxford. Okay. Do you want to do a credit rating check? My dear fellow, the occult section of the library is open to you. You may study it as your will. Unfortunately, there is a restricted section, and there are many books which are, shall we say, unavailable to the general public. I'm going to need some sort of reference, maybe from your professor. What was it you said you studied?
Psychology and psychoanalysis, which, of course, influences on the occult, and so many maladies of the mind are ascribed to the supernatural. Of course, mistaken, but...
Indeed, indeed. As I said, this is my area of expertise. Is there a particular thing you're interested in? I might be able to help you and save you some time.
I'm currently researching the case of a rather tragic story locally. A couple lived in a house in Boston. They both went mad and are ascribing their madness to the story of the previous owner of the house, who was apparently the perpetuator, founder of a cult which worshipped an entity known as the Dark Man or the Master of Mystery, some such nonsense. But dispelling these nonsensical theories may bring me closer to actually helping this tragic story, family ripped apart and all.
The family you speak of doesn't ring a bell. I've certainly not heard of them. Now, the word Dark Man doesn't ring a bell either. You can do a psychology roll if you wish.
What's psychology do? Is that sense motive in terms of D&D, is it?
Very much so, yes. Very much so. He definitely knows more about the Dark Man. For some reason, he's holding back.
Are you sure, my good boy? I sense a certain reticence in your manner. I assure you, I am no novice to the mysteries of the occult, or someone who would seek to persecute anyone. In fact, I am a brother in the seeker of knowledge.
Okay. It's not really something I wish to discuss. It's, shall we say, more mysterious, more dangerous than I really would normally discuss with a member of the public or even many academics. Dark Man normally refers to an ancient god out of Egypt, sometimes called the Black Pharaoh. Many cults around the world worship it under a number of different names. If you are researching a cult in the local area, even in the past, that refers to the Dark Man, I suggest you drop your research and find something slightly more interesting and safer to do. I suggest the opera, theatre perhaps. The only thing you're going to find is death and misery.
My good man, I had my fill of death and misery in the First War.
I think at this point it'd be a really good point to cut back to Spencer and Mud. So at this point we have the Captain Hammer pointing his gun at Spencer, who has his hands up. It's worth saying that Spencer was a private eye. He fully acknowledged you were a private eye. He just wasn't happy that you weren't a member of the Force. Harold, on the other hand, is incredibly suspicious of. As I say again, who are you?
Okay, there's been a huge misunderstanding. I need to speak to you privately. And I'm gesturing as in it's away from Spencer.
You can do a fast talk or you can do a credit rating.
Away from Spencer. Spencer, he's going to sell you. He's going to throw you under the bus. He's going to get you sent up the Swanee. You're going to be in Roxbury in no time.
There we go.
Okay. Sergeant, you keep an eye on this man. You come with me. And he kind of points his gun and motions you to a side room.
All right. So I'm like, I am an undercover agent attempting to thwart an attempted assassination on President Warren G. Harding. And I require your assistance.
It's amazing.
Oh, God. I'm so impressed.
Spencer types / face spam for anyone in the podcast.
Right, I'm gonna leave this to the fates. Let's find out if this works.
I hope you die so much. It worked! The keeper rolled 100 for anyone who can't see.
He puts away his gun and goes, "Oh my god, sir, this is terrible. I didn't even know the president was in Boston right now. What can we do?
I simply need access to your records. Everything else is being dealt with in-house. Just go about your business and try to keep Boston safe.
Sergeant, get in here immediately. This man is... He needs to look at our records because... because I say so. Now take him down there immediately. And the sergeant, very scared, obviously never seen the captain react in this manner, takes you through to the records. You've never really seen police records before, but they are similarly organised, the Hall of Records, and it's going to take you time and some library use roles to understand them. You can certainly use the sergeant if you wish to be a slightly...
Can I state that Spencer is incremental to this investigation, although he cannot know why? Okay,
yeah,
all right.
He's
so
come with you.
You can...
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, Spencer, you're with them as well.
So we're here, we're looking through the files.
We'll do some library rolls.
So
do you wish the sergeant to be here and help you, or are you gonna just kind of kick him out
and
do it?
Tell him that we're fine now, you've led us here, we can go about our business.
Okay, do you want to give us some library rolls? It'll take a while per library roll to see what you're finding. You were saying you were looking for the Chapel of Contemplation references, am I right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay, Spencer, you spend half an hour looking and find nothing that links the Chapel of Contemplation, unfortunately.
After all his epic rolls to get in here, they fail.
Harold, on the other hand, stumble across a number of affidavits which directly concern what appears to be a secret raid carried out on the Chapel of Contemplation. The police raid was occasioned by affidavits swearing that members of the church were responsible for the disappearances for a number of neighbourhood children. During the raid, 3 policemen and 17 cult members were killed by gunplay, or a fire which started in the church. Now, unusually, autopsy reports are singularly undetailed and uninformative, as though the coroner hadn't actually performed any examinations. A number of records continue to go into details. They say that although 54 members of the church were arrested, all but 8 were released. The records hint of illegal intervention proceedings by important local officials offering an explanation of why stories of the battle, the biggest criminal action in the city's history, never appeared in print. Do you wish to continue?
I think we'll search one more time.
How many did you say were arrested and released? Yeah. I'm taking notes for later on if we want to put out more information.
There's a hint of illegal intervention, possibly by an important local official.
You were saying that like something like 16 church goers were arrested and 5 were released, or something like that.
54 were arrested, but all but 8 were released. It's worth noting that in the Corbett Diaries, there was a hint that there was one of the members of the Church of Contemplation. Was a respected counselor. This is, if you were to do some more searching, you can certainly do that.
We'll continue searching. Oh, fuck, we got nothing.
That's a 95 and 83, you got shit all.
So another half an hour goes by, been for about an hour now. If you wish to push the roll, you certainly can.
I think I'll push the roll. Still.
Oh, why? It's a 20% chance. Push the roll, something bad happens. And he rolled 87.
Okay. In your haste, you managed to spread an entire file full of papers across the entire room. It's going to take at least half an hour to clear up if you wish to. Spencer, do you wish to push the roll?
No, I do not.
Let's cut to the Reverend. You are currently at the Boston Globe. Do you want to give us a library use roll?
I do indeed. Although now that we know everything was kept... Well, now that someone in the party knows and I don't, it feels like this might be a waste of time. Especially when I failed the roll with a 66. I thank the people...
So half an hour goes by and you don't find anything particularly interesting or related to any of the stories.
Can I, if I'm in, their archives, they've obviously let a man of the cloth in because they're good, God-fearing folk of the 1920s. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone there with me? A clerk, a keeper of records or something?
Yeah, there's a young man wandering around. His job seems to be to cut out articles and to stick them into the large books for ordering. Obviously, this is before Microsheaf, I assume it's before Microsheaf.
Young man, I'm not familiar with records. Could you help me and tell me how would I find something about and explain about something called the Church of Contemplations? It's meant to be at this address. Could you get any stories relating to this? And can I push that?
Hello, sir.
Push that roll.
I'm not sure if I recognise that name, but if you have a date, maybe I can help you with that, or an address, maybe.
Shit, 20 Sheep Street's the old Corbett House, isn't it?
Hang on here. If you've got that address, I can probably have a look at this. Let me see. Let me see. Well, there's this. And he kind of, after a bit of searching, he withdraws. I found 2, sir. Here you go. Have a look at this. This is a pretty old one. Have a look here. What do you make of that? This is 20 Shave Street, so that's the Weber House.
So Weber House sold, Henry Weber sold Shave Street property to Corbett. Mr. Weber said that he felt he would be unable to maintain the house and accompanying estate with his failing health. Mr. Weber only completed the house this past spring, but neighbours are hopeful that Mr. Corbett will be a fine addition to the area. So, stuff we already knew.
Okay, but sir, this one's pretty new. Have a look at this. This is only a couple of years old. And this one's only a year old.
Oh shit. Cobb's Hill. That's the place. Bloodied madman rampages Cobb's Hill. Residents of the North End were startled when a man covered in blood rushed out of his home on Monday, screaming obscenities and babbling about burning eyes. The man was identified as Vittorio Macario, a resident of Sheet Street in Cobb's Hill. It is uncertain what exactly happened to Mr. Macario, but police speculate he fell down a flight of stairs or perhaps even out of a closed window. Police apprehended Mr. Macario after he acquired a knife from a butcher's shop and was threatening locals. The arresting officer was unable to make out what he was trying to say. Mr. Macario has been interned into the Roxbury Sanatorium. No charges are being issued against him.
The next one here, this is just from last year.
Wife of madman committed to Roxbury. In a bizarre repeat of last fall's episode where a madman who terrorised the streets of North End, a woman has been institutionalised. The woman is Gabriella Macario. She was committed to the Roxbury Sanatorium after she was found huddled on the front step of her house at 20 Shave Street, muttering about burning eyes. Last October, Vittorio Macario, husband of Gabriella, burst from his house, covered with blood. The madman evaded the police for some time, eventually acquired a butcher's knife. He was finally subdued and later committed to Roxbury. The couple's two children are with family in Baltimore.
Okay. That night, you reconvene at Duncan Smith's house, and again he puts on a fine meal. So, have any of you managed to find out anything interesting? I see, Mud, it looks like you've had a bit of an accident. I'm kind of assuming that everyone's here now.
I didn't find anything that we didn't already know at the papers to everyone, including Duncan Smith, and ask around the table what's happened.
I'm not even sure what I found out, I'm going to be deadly honest.
You found out that the counsellor that they said they recruited in the diary,
yeah,
pulled his weight to cover up the autopsies. So obviously there was some dodgy play in autopsies that he's covered up. The report says they died in a gunfight and a fire at the chapel, but obviously they haven't because the autopsies were fudged.
Okay, but do you think that we could then maybe investigate actual autopsy reports if they were ever made?
No, well, that's what you did. You read the autopsy reports. You were saying it seemed like you read the autopsy reports, but it seemed like they were just made up and they probably never happened.
I guess the biggest things that you've discovered are that despite a huge police raid, the biggest that the city's ever seen, nothing was reported to the press. Very few were arrested. And of your lack of sort of finesse within the library, you spraying the papers across the floor, and you didn't find out exactly what happened to those arrested, but you can maybe assume that perhaps they never made it to jail. There is someone in power who has sway, probably this councilman that you read about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what do you think the plan of action should be? I'm not asking Joe, I'm asking everyone
else.
Only
place left to go is underground in the creepy house, in my opinion.
Alright, it is morning again.
Is the councilman still alive?
No, it was 100, it was like 100 years ago, it was like 1835 when all this happened.
I guess, yes, everything seems to indicate that the source of this most diabolical mystery lies in the basement. Oh joy, I think I'll need another drink or two before
the basement that probably doesn't have anyone buried there, because there's been many lawsuits to stop, or at least many reports of a lawsuit to stop them getting buried in the basement.
Yes, but as soon as I tried to enter the basement, shall we say I had a negative reaction?
Shall we make sure we've got all the best gear with us, make sure we've got enough to go in with, and we'll go search this place.
I take out my good rosary beads.
Okay, let's make it the next day. So you have now assembled outside 20 Shave Street. Is there anything you wish to take with you?
Yes. I have, from a local hardware store, I've picked up a crowbar. I have picked up two extra electrical torches, so we all have one each.
That's going to cost you a lot of money, my friend.
I'll chip in.
As well. Yeah.
Okay, the way money works in Call of Cthulhu is if you spend under your... let me just see what it's called. Under your spending level, it's free. Like, you get sort of $10 a day. If you want to spend more than that, then you have to actually use your kind of resources. Now, Bartholomew Ormond has an immense spending level, so between you, you can probably get these things with no problem at all. So, torches, crowbar, what else do you wish to get?
Perhaps some flares.
Okay.
That's a great suggestion, because I have a feeling some electricity is going to stop working abruptly.
I've still got my pistol, and I know Bartholomew's got his cane. I don't know if...
and a 45 automatic.
I'm happy with just the flashlight, because I'm not a man of violence, I'm a man of the cloth.
Me neither, I'm a pussy.
because of course the church has always abhorred violence.
Against people our own age, yes.
Okay, you approach the house. The door is closed, and when you try it, it's actually locked. But obviously you have the key, and it swings open under your push. The dark corridor is revealed ahead of you.
I turn to the guys. Did we lock the door?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Just for... Good. Move on. I'll walk... Can I walk down to where that door was? And I'm going to try and kick it open. Alright, well, I'm going to try and see if it's open.
Okay, the basement door is wide open, and there is no staircase below, and there is a 15-foot, maybe a bit more, drop down to the ground into
darkness.
Probably
should have bought rope.
Oh, shit.
Is it too late to announce that I used to be...
I've got rope in the boots.
I was going to mention that I'm a gymnast in my spare time, but okay.
Can we just burn the house down, please?
Who wants to go first down the rope?
I'll drop a flare on something very flammable.
I'll go down first. I'll go down first.
I'll follow Mud down.
Okay. I assume you maybe shine the torches around so you can see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I crack a flare and drop it down ahead of them before they go.
Okay. The basement is a kind of a L-shaped room. Directly in front of you is a wooden wall with a sort of crumbling plaster covering most of it. To left and right, the walls are made of brick, probably go directly into the earth on the outside. There's also a small room in the corner opposite the staircase. The door is closed. There's a lot of junk in this room. You notice everything from kind of bits of iron bars, tools, bits of wood. You even notice what seems to be an old dustbin lid.
Hmm. Can I take a closer look at the door to see if it's locked?
Not at all. Okay, an empty storage bin. It seems to be once maybe intended for coal. There is a large door, sort of trapdoor in the roof, which is probably where the coal gets poured in. It seems to be sort of boarded shut from the inside. Okay, guys, everyone else, what are you doing at the top of the stairs?
I'm going to head down.
I'm preparing to follow Mud. I was going to be right behind Mud, if possible.
I'm going to let him go ahead of me.
Okay, you walk across the room. Again, you kind of see various tools, bits of wood, a garbage can lid. Bartholomew and Spencer, would you wish to give me a spot hidden, please?
Oh, shit.
You notice, or are terrified to see, in fact, need to see it make a sanity check, an old rusty knife has lifted itself off the ground and is floating towards Reverend John B. Royce's back at quite some speed. You've made your sanity check and you managed to keep yourself able and compass mentis.
I jump to try and grab a hold of the handle of the knife.
You're currently at the top of the steps. Okay. So you're looking down upon the scene.
Then I shout out a warning.
Okay, Reverend, do you want to give us a dodge roll?
Not particularly, but I'll do it.
Gentlemen, there's an eye heading towards your back. What?
25% chance of this. Come on, be a dexterous motherfucking priest. Did that roll? Oh man,
that was me. It was me, not you.
Oh. 60 versus 50, or is it against my own dodge? Because either way, it's not good.
The knife flies across the room and crashes into the door just above you. It drops to the ground.
Can I pick it up?
Yeah, you can certainly try. At this point, Bartholomew, you're on the ground, and Spencer, you're climbing down as well.
I'd like to try and pick up the knife that I've had the punts. I don't know, what are we referring you to as locally?
Can you give me a sanity roll for seeing the knife fly across the room?
Okay.
Which one was? Didn't I see it too?
You've done yours already.
That's the third 90 roll in sanity. I've lost 3 more sanity, yes?
No, you lose 1d4.
1d4.
You can roll
that. Yes! I've only lost 7 sanity in this game.
The priest is losing his shit.
Okay. You let out a scream so as it far. Runs towards you, as it zooms towards you. Okay, the knife. It's an old knife with an ornate hilt whose blade is coated with an oddly thick rust.
A thick rust. Because I read that book explaining about the sacrifice and this blade that couldn't be stained. Do I recognise it from any description in that? No, or is it...
Yeah, now you think back to that. You think this isn't rust, this is blood.
Okay. I hand it to Harold Mudd because he's not got a weapon and I'm freaked out.
Just to reiterate, so the room has 2 brick walls and 1 wall made of what exactly?
Wood.
So, the wall that goes parallel to the stairs is made of brick. Opposite and behind that are also made of brick. The wall to the left is... maybe a wooden wall, so very very thin planks. It's covered in sort of broken plaster, which is obviously ruined by the damp.
I suggest we get at that wall with the crowbar, since we brought one. Take a look inside.
Okay, can I ask everyone to make power checks, please?
Oh lord. Power checks. Oh, I'm fucking powerful as fuck. So powerful. I just passed.
When we say power, it talks about kind of mental power. Do we have Aaron? Is Aaron here?
Yeah, I'm here. I've just rolled.
Brilliant. Oh my gosh.
Everyone except for Aaron is doing really well.
No, Bartholomew Ormond is not passed. Howard Munt's passed really well. Aaron?
Yeah, he's rolled.
Yeah,
he
rolled.
Gosh,
okay.
Aaron, he got 99.
Okay.
I rolled 99.
Again.
As normal.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, right, so you're going to hack at the wall?
Yes.
Okay, the wall, it takes a while, but the wall does crumble under your administration to reveal about a 2-foot-wide hidden wall space beyond. Through the wall space, you can see that the adjoining wall is also made of similar kind of planks and wood.
I'm going to climb in and start shimming. I'm assuming it's quite narrow.
Yeah. Once you're in there, you see at the far end, there is a hole in the wall, probably about kind of man-sized, a crawling man-sized, that if you duck, you could probably squeeze through. Is anyone else joining Harold Mudd?
Hell no.
I'll reluctantly follow him.
The face on him is like, I've played this before. We're all doomed.
Okay, Spencer, are you staying behind as well?
Is Bartholomew staying behind?
Yes,
I will stay with
so
Bartholomew.
So the two guys with guns are staying behind. Okay, this can go well. We're fine.
I just stay behind and pull my pistol and rack it a few times to make sure it's very well loaded.
Okay, Spencer, you blink, and as you blink, staring at you from the darkness behind your eyelids, the two glowing red eyes. They seem to be kind of impeding upon your consciousness. And when you open your eyes, in place of Bartholomew Ormond, is a strange creature. His skin is falling off. In fact, when you look again, it appears to be the body of your father reaching towards you, his flesh hanging off in tatters and his fingers ending in talons.
So yeah, can we run?
Wait, is that...
No, you're through, you're not in the room, this is just Spencer and Bartholomew.
Thank
fuck. He looks at you with his cold, rotting eyes and says, Spencer, you were never good enough.
In fact, I should have taken my hand to you way more.
And he reaches his cold hand to you way more.
I think Dave may be drunk.
It was good though.
It was amazing.
Spencer, can you make a sanity check, please?
Have you seen my rolls?
You just got, not even on the roll. He's just happy to say he's failed already. Not failed again.
You will die, Spencer.
Can you lose two sanity? What do you wish to do? This creature is reaching towards you.
Can I shoot at the image?
Oh my god! Yes. This is amazing!
He's gonna end up shooting David.
He's gonna shoot Bartholomew! I'm so happy! I'm so happy!
Yes.
One guy's gonna go insane and he's gonna shoot him dead!
Bartholomew, at this point, you turn around in horror to see that Spencer is staring at you wild eyed and is pointing his huge 45 revolver.
Fucking hell.
It goes in dex order, but because Spencer has a readied firearm, he has dex plus 50, so he definitely goes first.
I have a readied firearm as well.
Whose dexterity is highest? But first of all, Bartholomew, what's your dexterity?
60.
It's your initiative, as it were, is 110. Spencer, what's your dexterity?
7.
Oh, wrecked!
So you go first.
Wrecked, I'm so happy!
Now, at point blank range, you get to roll twice and use the best result. You can fire your handgun multiple times. The little number at the bottom says how many times you can fire it if you wish. What do you wish to do?
Are you trying to move?
Yes.
Yes.
I will fire once.
Okay, you can also... Do you wish to... as you're firing at the sort of rotting corpse of your father, do you wish to aim? Like, take some time to aim?
No, because I'm too shit scared to aim.
Okay, so can you roll your firearms?
You watch this be the best roll I've had in my life.
Well, you get to roll twice, because it's at point blank range.
Ooh.
Okay, so because you get advantage, you get to
work safe. That noise I just made means he passed.
Ooh. Okay, so do you want to roll for damage? It should say on your firearm what damage it is.
Below your skills.
10 plus 2.
Just click the dice.
D10 plus 2. Oh my gosh. Okay, before you roll, I should just say that Bartholomew Ahmad only has 10 hit points.
Oh, you're in so much trouble.
Why didn't I buy that one?
Eat that dice. I'm so excited to see what happens.
There's a huge resounding crack as the huge revolver goes off in his hand. The two people in the crawl space hear it go off. Okay, so first of all, can you tick the major wound icon?
Done.
Can you now make a... Constitution check, Bartholomew. Okay, you dropped to the floor unconscious.
Oh, Jesus.
Spencer, the image of your father's corpse disappears, and you see your kind of new companion collapse to the floor. Blood is spurting from a wound to the chest, and he's immediately unconscious.
Shit.
Answer of the gods, right there.
Do you have any first aid skills? Does anyone have any first
We're
aid
skills?
We're
stuck in a crawl space. Doesn't matter if we have first aid skills. There's a very chance.
Yeah, you've heard that his hand.
I've got 1%.
No, first aid is 30% base.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we all have
first aid. First aid, you're pretty good, actually, Harold.
I say medicine, first aid.
First aid's under F, not medicine.
Yeah.
If you wish, Spencer, you can immediately give first aid. You can try. You're untrained, but you can do it. You've got 30%.
I'll retreat to the gunshot and I'll give first aid as well.
I'm going to do the first aid. I've got the highest first aid. Listen. All right.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I crawl back out and roll this bad boy. Oh, shit.
We all failed. You and me both have 50 and we both rolled 76 and 77. Oh, come on, Spencer.
Okay. You are.
I am actually
going to
push.
I'm going to push a roll also.
Oh God! Hand of the gods.
Oh, oh! He saves the day.
Okay. You have one temporary hit point, Bartholomew. You have what's called one temporary hit point. You're basically extremely badly wounded. So you've taken a gunshot to the chest, but you're stable currently.
So you're everything but dead, essentially.
Spencer, can you make a sanity roll for shooting your companion?
Sorry, say again.
Can you make a sanity check for shooting your companion?
If he's okay with this, it's hilarious. Oh my god. Oh god.
And he's okay with it after that roll.
Shit.
Too many rude gestures.
But thank fuck it wasn't my father.
You seem to be unconcerned. You've managed to deliver the first aid, and you guys are sort of standing in this muddy basement.
Can I try and take the gun from Spencer? Somehow.
I don't know. Spencer, how do you feel about this?
Well, now that I'm not being haunted within my own sight, like, I realise what I've done and put the gun back in its holster.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
You might want to know why the hell he's...
I might shout it. Yeah, I'm going to grab him and shout, what the fuck happened? And not with my foot, Chris. What in God's name happened? I'm a man in the cloth. I wouldn't say fuck.
Guys, you wouldn't even believe it. I saw something. I saw the most hideous, unspeakable image before me, and I just shot and... Then next thing I know, Bartholomew is just laying there.
Are you homophobic? Is that what this is about, son?
Am I conscious at this point?
You can't defend yourself.
We can make a backstory for Dave when he's unconscious. Okay, so yeah.
Guys, we need to get this man to a doctor.
Okay, from behind the wall, you can hear a sound. It's coming from not behind the wall, but possibly a room beyond the partition. Something is moving. Okay. It sounds like heavy footsteps crawling across, I don't know, gravel maybe?
I'm gonna...
And it's gradually getting closer.
I'm gonna address the guys and say, okay, we will come back here after we've gotten Bartholomew to safety. Done. Yeah.
Okay, I changed my mind about the whole cursing as a priest thing. Fuck that. A knife has fallen at my head. He's seen his dead father. We're not coming back here. We're dealing with this now.
Okay, you've swayed me. My character's a risk taker. I'm all on board. Let's do this.
So we've reached this place upon a rope going down. So I can dare say it's not going to be easy to get Bartholomew up.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, whatever is coming towards you is much closer. I would say it's probably in the crawl space now.
Shall I fire into the crawl space?
I'm taking out.
Yeah.
I'm taking out my knife. I've given my. Who did I give my knife to? I give my knife to Harold Mudd. I take out my rosary beads. I guess, start praying, because fuck, I'm a priest, what can I do?
Okay, guys, you've probably each got one action before this thing gets to the gap in the crawl space. What do you wish to do? Let's start with Reverend, what do you want to do first?
I'm going
to
walk over towards the door and stand in the doorway, and like, I am unarmed, so like, have my hands up like I'm ready to fight, but looking like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Do you mean the door to the cold
sheet? I'm going nowhere near that wall.
Spencer, what do you wish to do?
I fire into the crawl space with my pistol again.
Okay, do you want to give me three rolls on your pistol?
You three times, yeah?
Mm-hmm. So one pass, two fail, three extreme pass, hard pass. Sorry.
Okay, can you roll for damage? Okay.
Hit twice, didn't he?
Harold Mudd.
Okay. I am quickly going for Mr. Owens.
Well, before you say it, Reverend Owen, he rolled he rolled one success and one hard success. I asked him to roll damage at the hard success.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So yeah, I'm going to reach for the other gun.
Clever.
And
I wish I took the knife now.
And can I shoot in the same action, or do I just pick up the gun?
Yeah, you can pick up the gun, and you can probably have a shot if you just shoot into nothingness. Currently, Spencer, you've taken four shots. Okay, do you want to give me three rolls again?
So just a regular damage roll, or
firearms RS in your skills?
Oh, yeah. 73.
Firearms HG, handgun.
And then roll again. 25.
Hit.
And miss.
Okay. Stepping into the gap you've made is a drawn, wizard-looking figure of some 6 feet. It's skinny and naked, with ghastly, wide, flaring, saucer-like eyes and a nose like a knife blade. It has lost all hair, and its shrunken gums make its teeth look very long. From him comes a sharp, sweet, churning scent like rotten corn. He silently moves through the gap and then looks at you and goes, I gave you a chance to leave. I even scared you off, but you insisted on staying. And now you will feed me. Can you all make power rolls again, please?
Even the unconscious.
Boom, yeah.
Woo.
Even the unconscious guy.
Yes.
No, not the unconscious guy.
It's the only time being unconscious is good.
All hail Cthulhu. Do this.
Okay, Spencer, you are now surrounded by two corpses. One still appears to be your father, and the other one appears to be possibly the rotting corpse of your mother. Can you make a sanity check?
Thank God he's not going to shoot us again, is he?
Okay, you, although definitely shocked by this, you still retain your faculties. What do you wish to do?
Well, I remembered what I did to Bartholomew, so I knew this must be another, load of trickery shit. So,
Okay, well, it goes in dexed order. So, Harold and Spencer, who has the highest dexterity, do you have guns ready, so you get plus 50. Harold, what's your...
Yeah, I'm going to shoot again, yeah.
Dexterity.
Yeah, well, what's my dexterity is on 70, so just roll it.
Okay, and yours is 70 as well, Spencer, so you both go at the same time. I'm going to give Spencer the edge, because you're the one who we started this round with. Spencer, what do you wish to do? You are being approached by two corpses and a corpse through the door.
Is there any space to run or move, or...?
As you previously said, the stairs have fallen down. It's really who you're going to aim at.
Put Bartholomew out of misery. Put one that says.
But surely I know this is just just folly. There's nothing that, I fell for the same trick once. I'm not going to fall for it a second time.
You've seen your man come through the wall as well and tell you he's about to eat you and feed on you. Three targets, and you can see the unconscious body on the ground. That's what I imagine.
Three targets. So what do they look like again? Who are these zombies?
So you've got the kind of desiccated corpse of your father, a similar corpse of your mother, and then this strange wizened corpse which is pushing its way through the wall.
Well, I aim at the last, the wizened corpse through the wall.
Okay, do you want to give me a roll then?
Which roll?
On your handgun. It's boom, and the shot goes wild. Right, Howard Mudd, do you want to go next?
Yeah, shooting up the wizard or the necromancer. Yeah,
wizened figure. Yeah,
to do firearms, handgun. Yeah, it's 20.
Oh lord!
So again, your shot is wild. Okay,
I'm at risk of getting shot
Reverend,
here. The way
you
said 66 and 95. Okay, so for my time in in exorcism demon fighting school, as a young lad growing up in school, I've been in a fight or two, so I can throw a poor punch. I'm gonna basically, in fear, run up and try and punch this thing because I have no weapons.
Amazing.
So I'm gonna use my fighting brawl, which is 45, which is above average, not bad. I'm gonna try and punch.
Yeah, no,
punch this thing and hope the fuck it doesn't bite my hand.
Okay, so the way it works is you initiate attack and the defender has an opportunity to kind of fight back. So you both roll together. So do you want to roll?
I got
21. Brawl?
21, come on. Yes! I punch a zombie.
So if it's a draw, the initiator wins, which is you. So you can do, you roll for damage.
Max damage, 3 damage. I am a kick-ass priest.
You fucking are, Jesus.
Okay, his body is hard and wizened. As you crack it, its head spins to one side, then looks back. Its face is crumbled away to reveal a grinning skull on one side. And it lashes towards you with its clawed fingers.
I think I just punched it.
You get to... It counts again. So you get to do a kind of a poach roll. Now you can... As a defender, you can fight back or you can dodge.
Fight back, man.
Fight back is what we've just done, or you can
I'll
touch.
Fight back, it's stronger for me. So, come on, fight back. Yes! I am Chuck Norris!
Roundhouse kick to the face.
So, you've actually managed to dodge his blow and you can deliver another hit.
I think I'm fighting the Terminator as well, half his face. I'm just like, max damage! Oh. This is the best day ever! 3 more damage!
Again, his flesh is dry and crumbly and sort of disappears under your blow, revealing these bleached bones. And he seems unaffected by your hits and still comes on. It's top of the round. We go back to Spencer.
With my last bullet of my gun, can I take a very precise aim for the wizened monster's head?
Okay, with guns, you can take, you can aim. It takes a full round, so your attack would happen next round, but it means you get advantage, so you can roll twice and use the best roll.
Oh yeah, because my rolls are always the best. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Okay, Harold.
I have no idea what to do. So in what state is this wizard, or this wizard-like necromancer?
He's got 2 fist marks on his head.
Yeah, his flesh is hard and crumbling. You see that there is a wound. It's got a wound in his chest, possibly from where Spencer wildly shot through the wall. And it's just a hole, no blood is leaking through it. And its flesh is crumbling both in the face and chest where the priest is.
I'm going to shoot again. In the face where the crumbled bits are.
use handgun this time. It's not your. It's not.
Yeah, I have been using handgun.
Oh, it won't make a difference.
So bang again. The shot goes wild. We're back to the Reverend.
I'm gonna fucking bob and weave my head and then punch him again. I guess. I'm getting into it. I'm doing the rope dope and everything here.
those Catholic boxing clubs finally come into play. You're coming home.
Yeah, so I have to oppose a 31.
Rip John.
Oh, I am a god. So, with the rosary beads around my hand, I'm going to punch him again with the right hook.
Are you going to suplex
him? And what? Two.
Okay. As you hit him, there's almost like a sigh of something like something's changed about the body. It's almost like a layer of protection has disappeared, and his body seems not nearly as hard or as strong. And this time your hand almost disappears up to the kind of forearm into the body, going straight through, and withdraws covered in dust. So imagine, I don't know, if you see Walking Dead, like when you kind of punch a zombie and your hand disappears right into it.
Okay.
But this is like a dry, wizened corpse. And he actually seems hurt by that blow. To top of the round, Spencer, you've been aiming. You get to make two attacks and use the best one.
Okay, here we go.
I hope you keep missing and I eventually just kill him in hand-to-hand combat. That's amazing if it happens.
Okay. You hit one. You can use 23 to hit, so that's almost a hard success. Do you want to roll your damage?
Ooh.
Ooh. Tasty amount of damage. Wow. 10 damage.
It's a big gun!
Right.
I'd like to point out I've done 7 damage with just my fist.
You have. I did fucking nothing. I just...
Yeah, but how many rounds did that take you to do?
2. Same as you.
Okay. The corpse kind of gazes at you with its black, red, flaming eyes before collapsing in itself. It's almost like the very bonds that were holding it together have been severed and it crumbles into nothingness. All that's left is a tiny pile of dust and a small amulet.
Was the zombie wearing a belt? And if so, can I raise it over my head like a champion? I think I broke Dave.
I'm lying here unconscious. All I got to do is react to you guys.
Oh, man.
Okay. You can all gain, for the successful completion of the Corbett House, you can all gain 1d6 sanity points.
1d6. Let's go for a d6. That's more or less the quest, is it?
That is it. And you return, it'll probably be very difficult, but you manage to get Bartholomew Ormond to a hospital. And there's some pretty horrible rules about recovering from major wounds. There'll probably be a number of questions about why you have a bullet wound.
Oh, I was cleaning it, officer, honestly.
You return to Duncan Smith, who very, very gladly pays you the $25 each plus the $100 bonus. And there is also this strange amulet dropped by Corbett.
I'll pick it up because I'm closest, I guess.
Definitely. And we can do that. I'll also say that probably as you maybe search the basement, you do find the last journal entry.
Okay.
If you wish to read it, we can do it now or we can carry on. It's just here.
You might as well read it now, I guess. Who wants to
read it now?
Who wants to read it?
Do you want me to read it? Might be easier. Okay, the final Corbett entry. December the 8th, 1851. Our Grantor of Secrets has revealed to me a ritual that will manifest the hunter who, once satisfied, fades. My dagger, which spilt the blood of those children to first summon our Lord, must be used again. This time, drawing a diamond in the sky while reciting Evocant Venator. I will copy my notes on the summoning of this foul creature into this journal. March the 12th, 1852. It has been 44 years since I first discovered the ancient tome that has led me to such great power. Fittingly, it is on this day that I have discovered Rigor Vitae. Upon first study, Rigor Vitae appears to be a method to keep the flesh from wearing through the vigours of mortal time. I suspect, though, that this may also be used as protection in the unlikely event that peril may strike me. May the 21st, 1853. Those ignorant fools. If they knew who I was, they wouldn't dare speak a disparaging word against in my direction, let alone file a lawsuit against me. I almost wished I had lost the case so I could have sent the hunter after them while they sleep. May the 19th, 1866. The chapel is going splendidly. Most followers are so faithful that I rarely need to make an example. Very few times, however, I have forced a follower to obey the master's will. After only 4 stern commands, I was able to turn the fourth minister, Michael Thomas, to my cause. June the 20th, 1866. I reached the end of this life. Many of my peers look at this moment with fear and anguish. Not I, for I know that soon I will cross the threshold to everlasting life and power. I am sending my will to Minister Thomas. I am certain he will lead the others in serving me for eons to come. I mustn't tarry, for the beginning of my transformation is at hand.
Right.
And there we leave it.
That was fun as fuck.
Thanks so much for listening. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBards.com. Their premium sound effects and music make the show what it is, and you can get all the sounds for yourself at BattleBards.com. If you want to contact any of us about the show, or if you just want to shoot the shit, you can find us through Reddit, Twitter and Facebook, all of which you can find through our website, HowWeRollPodcast.com. If you'd like to support the show, then leaving us a positive review on iTunes really helps. And you can also donate and keep the show going through our Patreon site. Take care, see you next time.